Well, if you're not in Galatians 5, 22, 23 there, that's where we're honing in on as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. You can also hold your place in those other passages, but we will look at a number of verses today. We've been in this series for a little while now on the fruit of the Spirit in the context of the series we were doing on the book of Galatians. It's a well-known truth, these fruit of the Spirit, but as we've said, it's one thing to recite them, to maybe be able to say and sing the song, fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience, etc. But are we growing in them? Because when we come to know Jesus Christ, we're meant to mature in Christ-like character. And that's why the Holy Spirit lives within us. One of the reasons is for that character to grow and for it to be cultivated as we cooperate with the Spirit. And of course that happens as we're getting in God's Word and as we're depending on the Holy Spirit in daily life, trusting Him and obeying Him. He produces this transformation. It is not, of course, something we do ourselves. But certainly we don't sit back and do nothing either. It's His fruit, but we're called to cooperate with Him to grow. And we started looking a number of weeks ago at the central fruit. The first one is there for a reason. That's love. And that's experiencing God's love. We love God because He first loved us in Jesus Christ. This is love. Not that we love the Lord, but that He sent Jesus Christ, John tells us, to save us. And so love, of course, is that personal relationship with God that we each have. We said that the first three of these fruits last week are really honing in on our relationship with God. Certainly they affect our relationship with others, but they have an upward focus. And as we grow to experience God's love, we're focused more and more on His grace and the assurance we have. And then growing in that love and focus on what the gospel's doing in our lives, it affects the way that we love and want to give out of that love to others as we see what God's doing. And then we talked about joy, which is our perspective, right? in our relationship with God, it's not happiness. It's not an up and down going through circumstances that change. It's a godly perspective of what God is doing. And so it doesn't change. It's deep within us as Christians. And then we talked about God's peace, that we're right with God, and so we have peace with God, and then experience the peace of God. And then we talked about patience, dealing with our problems and people, enduring over a long period of time, waiting on the Lord. But then we started to talk about patience, kindness, and goodness are more of an outward focus. So we talked about patience, we talked about kindness, which is practical help that we give to others, a readiness because of God's love to help others. And then last week, we talked about goodness, the last one of these more outward-focused ones, doing the right thing because it's the right thing, integrity, growing to become like Jesus Christ in our character from the inside, then showing itself to the outside. That's goodness. And goodness is really like the old saying, you know, what you see is what you get. If we're growing in integrity and goodness. And so this week and the next few weeks, they deal with these last three that really have more of a inward focus, if you will. They certainly affect people around us, as we'll see. But they have this inward focus of our character being changed as we grow in faithfulness and gentleness, humility, and self-control, those last three. So what is faithfulness, this seventh spiritual fruit or characteristic of us as Christians? Well, Stuart Briscoe says the word is not used very much in society in these modern times because we don't see it as much as we should. We might think of a couple celebrating 50 years of marriage and faithfulness to one another. We might think of a man who works 40 years in one place and he gets a gold watch or some sort of watch or a pen for years of faithful service. You know, we might think of our dog, you know, he's old and ugly, but he's faithful. We love him. He's there. He's reliable. Our car, you know, we might not think a whole lot about it. It's not beautiful, but it's faithful. That car, that's kind of the way we might think about faithfulness today. Faithfulness is not appreciated as much as it should be in modern culture because of sin. You know, the faithful parent who works hard and long hours, that's seen kind of as a boring thing sometimes in culture. But yet people want to complain about the lack of faithfulness and work ethic that's in society today. You know, we see it in marriage when people are not faithful. They're faithless in their commitment because there's just not much of a concern, it seems to be, for true faithfulness. What is it? Well, the word in Greek here, pistis, is the Greek word. It means faith, to trust. But when you look at it in a context of virtues like this, it's better translated faithfulness, being full of faith, trustworthy, being reliable is the idea, being honest, having fidelity, integrity, loyalty. In other words, when there is a growing faith in the God who is faithful perfectly, the results are we're going to grow as Christians to be faithful, full of faith as we trust in Him, and more trustworthy as we look to Him and Him alone. Faithfulness is that fruit of the Spirit that develops in Christians as we consistently rest in Him and depend on Him who is perfectly faithful. As we grow to trust in Him more consistently, exercising faith, we become more faithful in our daily lives to God and to others. We become more reliable, more of that type of person that people can count on and rely on. Someone said, faithfulness means being trustworthy, dependable, having integrity, keeping your word. It means exercising that behavior over a long period of time. People then, as we grow in faithfulness, realize, hey, that person's reliable. I can count on them. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to be consistent. They're not going to back out on me. I can see it. None of us are perfect, but we're meant to grow in faithfulness in a variety of ways and circumstances. It is a rare quality in the times we live, but Christians are meant to grow in it. Proverbs 26 says, most men will proclaim his own goodness. They'll say, oh, I'm loyal. But it says, but who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 26. You know, as a pastor, you see it through the years when people will say, hey, I'm committed to the church. They make vows or they want to serve and they say they'll do this and that, but they don't follow through. You see it. It happens. Why? Because the only way we're going to grow in true faithfulness is looking to the God who's faithful. Proverbs 20:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, the Proverbs had a lot of humor in them, don't they? But when you're unreliable or you trust in someone who's unreliable, the proverb says it's a painful thing. You got a nagging tooth, you know, that just doesn't want to get better. It bothers you. It's painful. You can't trust your chewing, you know? I mean, anybody ever had that problem? This is the way unreliable people are, or if we're that way, or you know, you are into sports, you know, and you got a nagging ankle or a knee. It just keeps bugging you. You know, the proverb's saying that's the way people that aren't reliable are. They affect us. They're painful. They're difficult. You know, there's a geyser in America called Old Faithful. You know that? You probably heard of it, I'm sure. It's not because it's the biggest geyser around, or the most powerful, it's the most dependable. Like clockwork, Old Faithful shoots up that water the same times every day. It's consistent. A faithful person, someone said, is one who perseveres over the long run in responsibilities and resources and can be counted on in difficulties. Let me ask, we have to all say, are we growing in faithfulness? Can our spouse count on us more and more? In loyalty, can our employer, can our friends, can the church? We're meant to grow in this. Only God can produce it, but we're meant to grow in faithfulness. The Spirit works in such a way, someone said, Terry Johnson said, that in the hearts of His people we become more faithful. The Spirit changes us. We become more and more those who can be counted on. You see, the Lord isn't impressed by what the world's impressed by. Get that. He's not calling you to be spectacular. Okay? He's not calling you to impress everybody else with money and things and all you can do. He's calling you to use what He's given you and us as a church to grow in faithfulness, to be faithful to what He's called us to do and saved us to do. The old saying is, the greatest ability is often dependability. John Wesley was asked one time by a Christian lady, well, what happens if you die tomorrow and you face the Lord? What are you going to do? He said, well, the next day I'm just going to go preach. I'm going to go to my friend's house, Martin, and he said, I'm going to go preach at this other place, and then I'm going to go to bed that night and wake up the next day in glory. I'm going to be faithful. You know, when Pompeii was destroyed with volcanic ash, a lot of people were found in the different places where they were molded, you know, in that. And there was a Roman soldier found standing at the city gate where he had been placed by his captain. His hands, even in that time, as the ashes fell and the earth shook, he would not leave his stance, holding his gun and holding his post to the very end. That's faithfulness. As we grow in the Lord, how does faithfulness flow from love and joy and peace and patience? Because I like to help us look at these fruit, each of them in context, before we look at the practical. Well, as we rest in God's love and joy and peace and grow, we do that through faith, consistently, over the long run, and we grow in patience, endurance. But then that patience is to be proven in our character over a period of time, which is faithfulness. Romans 5 says, we glory in trials, knowing that trials produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character hope. It doesn't disappoint us. We endure in patience over time, and there's a consistency in faithfulness and then proven character and growing hope. We saw last week that if goodness, as it is doing right because it's right, well, faithfulness means continuing to do right over time and becoming in character one who's known to do that, one who impacts the people around them. We're faithful to God, we're faithful to others, and we're transformed. And we become trustworthy and reliable and dependable as our character is transformed over time. As we walk by faith, we grow to have integrity. And so the question is this. We'd all say, if you're a Christian here today, you want to hear, as Jesus said in Matthew 25, in the parable of the talents, you want to hear God say one day, don't you? Well done, good and faithful servant. How does God produce that faithfulness in us? Number one thing, explore the roots of true faithfulness. Explore the roots of true faithfulness. You see, when we're unfaithful to others, they see that slothful attitude in us, right? It's painful, like the proverb says, right? We're not dependable. It's difficult to deal with. But we've got to understand that unfaithfulness is more than us just choosing convenience over commitment and making it difficult for people. No, unfaithfulness is ultimately disobedience to the Lord. We've got to see that more and more, the real heart of unfaithfulness. So that means if we're growing in faithfulness, what is it ultimately about? Obedience to the Lord as we trust in Him. That's the core issue at the heart of unfaithfulness. Sanderson said, this commentator, the man who disobeys God has cast himself from the only support a person can have. The man who's not controlled by God has no settled reason to keep his word or to carry out his work. That's the core of it, isn't it? It's faithfulness. Reliability is a spiritual obligation, ultimately, to the Lord, who cares about it. The Psalm we read, 15, it says, God honors those who fear Him. He who swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. God doesn't want us to just sit back and say, well, I'm not going to make any commitments. Because you can't count on me. No, we're to trust in Him and grow to become like Him. He has to empower us to grow, but we're meant to grow in it. You know, road engineers sometimes will take a core sample of the asphalt in the area they're working on to see what lies beneath the surface. They look at that core of the road and they put it out there on the table and they can see the quality of the materials all the way down beneath the pavement by that little sample. What would the core sample of our hearts right now show? That it looks okay on the surface, but deep down, there's crumbling. The problem is, in the world today, we got so many people that'll say, hey, I can't keep that commitment. Or they don't want to make any commitment at all. You know, don't count on me. That's the idea sometimes. We live in what one man called, a disposable culture, don't we? Disposable plates, disposable contacts, cameras. You know, you just kind of get rid of it when you're done with it. It affects us in our jobs. You know, employers get tired of the ones they have and they move on to somebody else. It goes into our relationships. You know, married couples get tired of spouses and it's time to move on. We just dispose of that person. We don't stick with anything. People don't want to make a commitment and then they don't want to stick with it either once they make it. And Christians can get this way with other Christians too. It's It's time to move on from that person or go to a different church. Terry Johnson said, "We want to have integrity as Christians. We want to be reliable, consistent, dependable. How can we be?" He says, "It's not by trying harder." We got to know that. It's true with all the fruit of the Spirit, right? Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Only God in Christ makes us more faithful. Sanderson said, "Faithfulness flows from faith in God." It's true. When our attention is focused more and more on Him regularly, steadfastly, depending on Him, His Word begins to transform us. We begin to see the power of His faithfulness in our lives, and we become more faithful. You know, Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher, he wrote 21 resolutions as a Christian at 17 years old and had about 70 by the time he died. But he said the one at the top of the list was being sure that I am unable to do anything without God's grace. And that's the key, isn't it? As Edwards said, our faithlessness often stems from our lack of faith in God. You realize that? Think about the wilderness episode when Israel was there doubting God. And as they doubted God's faithfulness, they disobeyed Him with no direction. They wandered. And that's a picture. When we lose sight of God's faithfulness and being thankful to Him for everything, we don't grow. God makes us in His image, and Christ remakes us so we'll become more like Him. He wants to change us. So the first thing we got to know is we're not going to be more faithful on our own. Our tendency is faithlessness, not faithfulness. But we're still called to rely on Him, to look to God as the standard, to trust in Him who is perfectly faithful and will grow to become more faithful. 2 Timothy 2 said, if we're faithless, He remains faithful because He can't deny Himself. Even in the most difficult, trying times like we feel today and in our lives, we should affirm the faithfulness of God, shouldn't we? That even when we've sinned and struggled and been unfaithful, and we're suffering, let's say, because of our sin and God's discipline, when we're struggling with temptation, we look to the God who is always faithful, who never changes. Like that verse in Lamentations we read says. We look to Him. We call on Him. Romans 3 says, for what if some don't believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. God's always faithful. You know, there used to be an insurance company. I don't know if it exists in America anymore. It was called Prudential. And the image they had was of a gigantic rock, this insurance company. It was an image of stability. And what they were saying was, you can count on us. Of course, I don't think they exist now. But their motto was, get a piece of the rock. Now, God never changes. He's that rock. And just like those other fruit, we only grow in faithfulness as we look to Him as the standard. Knowing we fall short of His Word, and we walk as we walk with Him and get in His Word, and we trust in His faithfulness over time. Like an old Puritan preacher said, he was asked one time, why are you so precise and so picky about everything you do? And he thought and he said, because I serve a precise God, a faithful God in all ways. The more you know His faithfulness in every area of our lives, the more faithful we become as we look to Him. The fact is, God is faithful, perfectly reliable, trustworthy. He's always dependable. He never deceives, and He's faithful in all the minute little things of life. Do we look to Him? As we grow to trust in Him and walk in faith and trust consistently, we'll experience more of that faithfulness in our lives. We'll grow to become more trustworthy like God. It's a process, but we do. See, there's an obvious connection, one man said, between faith as trust and faithfulness as trustworthiness. And our life is shaped by the God we look to in faith. And so we're meant to trust in the Lord, yes, in faith, but then we're meant to imitate that faithfulness. He's faithful, but we look to Him. Trust means, though, that we consistently do it. Trust means a steadfastness, a depending on God consistently. It has to be firm. As we grow to trust in Him alone, we'll grow to become more trustworthy. Colossians 2 said, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. The more we grow to trust God, who is perfectly trustworthy,
will experience His faithfulness. See, if you want to go your own way, as we do at times, don't we? Living our own way, not looking to God to trust Him and obey Him, we're going to find that we don't grow in faithfulness. But as we look to Him and experience Him as the God of the covenant, who clings to us, who's faithful to us in so many ways, as we experience what His faithfulness means in our lives, as we depend on Him and walk in faith, we learn what His faithfulness really looks like in life. We desire more of it. We want to grow in that faithfulness. We grow in faithfulness from our relationship with God as we learn to count on Him in all of life and do life His way more and more, and understand how essential that faithfulness is to everything in life. He is faithful. He never changes. We're meant to walk with Him and trust and obey, as the song says, because there's no other way. And He makes us more like Himself. The Bible tells us over and over, God's faithful. He is faithfulness Himself. That's who He is. His faithfulness never changes. He's persistent and powerful, and nothing can stop His faithfulness. He's purposeful. He's active, working in our lives. And as we learn to trust in Him, we'll grow step by step more and more to be persistent in our faithfulness. He'll empower us to overcome obstacles to faithfulness. It won't be based on what other people do to us. It'll be based on who God is. And we'll be purposeful. We'll be actively working in people's lives. I always love the story of the guys working at this construction site. And this man comes up and he sees these guys working at both ends of the site. And he's wondering what they're building. And he goes to one guy and he says, "Well, what are you building?" He said, "Well, I don't know nothing. This old building." He goes over to the other side and he sees the guy working with such enthusiasm. He said, "What are you building?" And this guy has bright eyes. He pops up and says, "We're building a cathedral." What are you building in your life? Are you concerned about the details of life? The more we experience God's faithfulness to us and promises in all the areas of life, and know how powerful His faithfulness is in our lives, and what He can do to work through us as we're faithful, the more we'll be motivated to walk with Him and obey Him in all the little things of life. Are you experiencing His faithfulness in your life? Trusting Him and obeying Him. The fear of the Lord alone drives that out. I'm not talking about a terror, but an awe of God that leaves us in wonder so that we want to pay attention to the details of life and be obedient. Colossians 3 said, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as working not for men but for the Lord." Who are you working for? I read about this man, his funeral, and he had helped develop the Boeing 747 years ago. And after the service, the widow of this man, she said it was remarkable, the service. But she said, "You know, the truth is, my husband worked on one little switch box, no smaller in that plane design, no smaller or bigger than a loaf of bread. For 15 years he did this. But when the 747 lifted off the ground the first time," she said, "it was the happiest day in his life." The more we grow to rest in His love and joy and faithfulness, the more we want to walk in that faithfulness. We see the power of His faithfulness working through our lives in all the little things that are big things in the eyes of God, because He's a faithful God. Trust results in trustworthiness. Dependence in God results in dependability. Faith in God results in faithfulness. And there's no other way, but that's the way the Lord works. Number two thing, explore the roots, first of all, of true faithfulness. Number two, examine what true faithfulness involves. You see, the moment the Spirit comes to live in us, if you're a true Christian, you must have a burden, we do, to please the Lord in every area. If you're a Christian, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." 1 John says that the commandments of the true Christian, they're no longer seen as burdensome. Is that happening in your life? We have a desire. The Spirit works in us to be faithful to all that God is, and more, all that He commands of us. We want to please Him in all the ways, more and more, and that's at the heart of true faithfulness. We desire to stand on all of His truth, and we desire to seek to obey all He said. First of all, how about belief? Stand on His truth. True faithfulness doesn't attempt to take metaphorical scissors to the Word of God
and cut out what we don't want to go with if you're going to be faithful. You can't pick and choose God's word with what's convenient if you want to be faithful. True faithfulness means faithfulness as God works in us to all God says, not giving in to what the world says, or loyalty to the gospel, not being loyal, even if it offends people. You realize this, that the battle about true faithfulness really is based on our belief about the Bible. You realize that? When you think about marriage, homosexuality, abortion, all these moral issues, the battle is won or lost in our belief in the Bible. If we're going to be faithful, believing in God's word, it comes down to that. Our faithfulness to preach the gospel, to share it, to send missionaries, to invest, all it's tied to our belief in the Bible. Moral purity, our commitment to service, to give. True faithfulness to the faith is about holding fast to all of God's word to the very end, because it is His word. He's the one who gives it. The faithful God gives the faithful word. Proverbs 30 says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in Him. If we trust in the God who is faithful, and He is, why would we deny any part of the word He gives us where He shows us His faithfulness? How do we think we're going to grow in faithfulness if we want to pick and choose our commitment to certain parts of the word and leave other things out when it's not convenient? It's commitment to all God's word that empowers our growth and faithfulness, because when the Spirit of God lives in you as a Christian, the word then becomes a means of light to your path. Truth, grace. We feed on it. It motivates us to greater faithfulness. The word of God is full of precious promises to all God's people, reminding us of God's faithful ways, motivating us to faithfulness. Psalm 119:30 says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Your word I've set before me. We're not going to grow in true faithfulness without faith in God. But that trustworthiness and dependability of the Lord, experiencing it, only comes from looking to all of God's word. Believing in all of His word. Not rejecting 10% of it. But, oh yeah, I go with 80 or 90%. 2 Timothy 2 says, the way the gospel gets, the torch of the gospel is passed down is by entrusting it to reliable, faithful men. We need to remember that. We lose our confidence, Hebrews 10 says, when we don't hold to the truth. Because our confidence and strength to be faithful flows from God, yes, but through reflecting on His truth and resisting the temptation to turn from it, to reject it, to ignore it. Number two thing with this is behavior. When you break down what faithfulness is all about, it starts with belief in the Bible, standing on all of what God says, but also that of flowing out into everyday life, obedience. We won't grow in the practical areas of faithfulness without this. Without this commitment to obey as the Spirit leads us in the different areas of life and trust God and take Him at His word to follow Him over the long run, we're not going to grow in faithfulness. Maturity and faithfulness is a process, but it means walking with faith in a faithful God, getting in His word, relying on Him, obeying Him in the areas that we may not be comfortable with, but growing to trust Him and obey Him. Belief and behavior are essential. You know, the old movie, Karate Kid, I probably shared before, but it makes such a good illustration. When Mr. Miyagi has Daniel, this guy learning karate, the young guy, wash all the things in his house, his cars, paint the fence. He's upset, and Mr. Miyagi shows him that actually he didn't understand when he was obeying. He was learning karate. The teacher really knew what he was doing as he trusted him. And the fact was, Daniel wouldn't have learned that without obedience when he didn't get it. And the same is true with us in a greater way as Christians. God wants to show us what faithfulness looks like so we grow in it. But it doesn't happen without getting in His word and belief, trusting and obeying in behavior. That's the only way. There's no other way but to trust and obey. I always love the story of this young man at a fast food restaurant. This blind man placed an order, and as the man paid, $20 slipped from this blind man's pocket to the floor. And the woman behind the man quickly snatched up the money. He didn't know it. She put it in her purse, and she went up to pay. And this guy, Joey Pruzak, who worked there, he said, no, ma'am, that's not yours. And she refused to admit it. And finally, he asked her again and then had to ask her to leave. And she was upset and yelling and stormed out. But then Joey, this young man working at Dairy Queen, this restaurant, went in, explained what happened to this man, gave him $20 to the blind man of his own money. And all this was caught on tape and sent in to on Facebook and went viral and sent to Dairy Queen. And he was called in by the president of Dairy Queen and asked to come to the shareholders meeting because of his integrity. Jesus said in Luke 16, "He who is faithful in a little thing is faithful in much, and he who's unfaithful in the least will be unfaithful in much." See, Jesus is watching how we live. Are we going to be faithful in the little things? Because if we can't, we're not going to be entrusted with the greater spiritual things. This is how we grow. He wants us to grow in faithfulness in those things because then we can be used for other things. And if somebody's asked us, for example, to do something to help them and we're able to do it, or we promised we'll do something, or they wrote us a letter and they're struggling with it, we might feel like it's not much to us. But could it be important to them? Are we growing to be faithful? Eugene Peterson's book states it well. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Discipleship. Faithfulness. We want to grow in that and obey the areas that we're not just we're comfortable with, that we like, but to trust God. That's the only way we grow to know what His faithfulness really looks like in every day of life, in every area of life. Like a store owner interviewed this young man for a job and asked him, he said, the owner said, "If I hire you to work here, will you be honest and truthful?" And the young man, who's a Christian, he thought and he said, "I'll be honest whether you hire me or not." That's who we are as Christians. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, He'll not let you bear more than you can handle, and He'll show you the way out. We don't go our own way, do we? We look to Him who's faithful to walk in His ways. And finally, as we close, exercise faithfulness to God and others. In our relationships, for example, you know, we need to be a part of the church if we want to grow in faithfulness. How committed are we? Imagine if I went to the Australian Army recruiting office and I said, you know, "I don't mind joining. I'll sign here. But I say, wait a second, there's one condition, I'll join, but I don't want to be committed to any specific platoon, you know, when we go into war. I mean, I'll just jump around, you know. I'll float around from unit to unit, and I'll be a part of the Army generally, but I don't really want to be committed to any specific group of soldiers. Well, so if the battle gets hot, you know, I might go around, you know, from one unit to the next. You know, if I don't like the leadership of one unit, I might switch around, you know. Let me ask you, would you like to have somebody like that in the foxhole with you in a war? And yet, how many people have that mindset in the world today? In a world of unfaithfulness and unreliability that seeps into the church sometimes when people want to jump around and church hop, you know, like rabbits from church to church and, you know, don't want to commit. See, one of the keys to exercising faithfulness or faith and growing in faithfulness is our relationships. It's through keeping our promises. It's through telling the truth, but also being committed as Christians to Christ's people. We grow when we do that. Let me ask you, do we, as we practically apply this, do we find ourselves sometimes saying, as I know I have before, "I really will wash the car. I really will do this. I really will come to Bible study." Like we've got to convince people by our words because our lives don't give them a whole lot of cadence or reason to believe. So we all struggle with this, don't we? It's a process. We've got to grow. But truthfulness is key to trustworthiness and faithfulness. As Jesus said, we'll let our yes be yes and our no be no. We grow to keep our word and be dependable and reliable as Christ works in us. I mean, imagine you get an estimate from a painter and you're going to have your house painted. You agree to give him the job, but then you find out that a mate or friend is willing to do it for substantially less. What do you do as a Christian? We stick with it. Are we becoming people of our word who are different, who stand out in the way we live and what we say, who are faithful? Responsibilities in the way that we live. I love the story of Helen Keller. at 19 months old, contracted fever that left her deaf and blind, but she was so consistent. She became world famous at the age of 8, helping those who were deaf and blind, but she didn't give up there. She continued in her life to help those in that area, the deaf and the blind. Are we persistent to the end? We want to be responsible. We want to serve the Lord. How about our resources? Relationships, resources, or responsibilities and resources. Our time, our treasure and money, our talents. You know, there's so many places we don't have time to look at it where Jesus talks about how we need to be faithful with money. In Luke 16, he said, if God can trust us with earthly wealth, then he will trust us with spiritual wealth. What about our resources? As I said earlier, as we close, just because you don't do something spectacular doesn't mean you're not faithful. That's not what it's all about. It doesn't mean we're excused from doing what God has called us to do. It doesn't depend faithfulness on what we can't do or what we don't have, but what God has given us. When Jesus tells the parable of the talents, he says, well done, good and faithful servant, to those servants who took and used what they had, they were honored. What are we doing with what Christ has given us as we look to him, as we depend on him to grow in faithfulness? That's the only way that we grow. Let's turn to him now in a time of prayer as we seek him. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are the ultimately faithful God who is eternally faithful, who is faithfulness. And Lord, we look to you. We know that even when we're faithless, you are always faithful. Your mercies are new every morning. But Lord, we know you've called us to grow in this fruit of faithfulness. As we walk with you, Lord God, fill us with faith so we'll be faithful. Those who rely on you and know your ways and walk in the truth of your word in obedience more and more at every area of life, even the things that can seem small or overlooked by those in the world. And Lord, may they be ultimately pointed to you, the God who is always faithful. They can look to who is trustworthy and reliable. Lord, we pray people will look to you in these trying times and trust in Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.